Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
The Best in the World podcast with Richard Parr.
Hello and welcome to The Best in the World with Richard Parr. Each week I speak to an Olympic champion, a Paralympic champion, a world champion, a world record holder, or a world number one to find out what they do differently from the rest of us to be the very best in their sport. And we learn all of the lessons that they have gone through in their life to be the best so we can extract it and help improve our everyday lives or our sporting ambitions as well. And so far we've spoken to over 110 different sports superstars. And this week I've got another fantastic guest for you. I'm delighted to say that we will be speaking to Alyssa Seely. Alyssa is the gold medalist from the Rio Paralympic Games in the para triathlon. And she is an incredible competitor, a two-time world champion in the sport as well. And she talks about all about her change into becoming a Paralympian before she was a triathlete. And then, unfortunately, she actually lost her left leg. It was amputated below the knee in 2013. But she didn't let that stop her. And that's why she became the Paralympic champion in 2016. And she tells us all about her story, tells us all about what has helped her become the very best in the world. And it is a fantastic chat with the lady who grew up and studied in Arizona State. I really enjoyed speaking to Alyssa. So I think we should pretty much just get to it. Let's learn from the very best, the para triathlon Paralympic gold medalist. It's Alyssa Seely.
The Best in the World podcast with Richard Parr.
Alyssa Seely, welcome to The Best in the World with Richard Parr, a two-time world champion, a Paralympic champion in para triathlon. So great to have you on the program. And we were just talking before we started this conversation by the fact that you grew up and lived in Arizona State, and I went to Phoenix a few years ago in Arizona, and I wasn't expecting to, but I absolutely loved it. Is that something which normally happens and you normally hear about?
Yeah, I think I love being from Arizona. It's so diverse, and I think people think Arizona is just like a desert with like sand and tumbleweed. But when you get there, it's amazing. We have so many mountains and so many different climates. I live in the desert, and an hour and a half away, there's snow in the winter, and a few hours away, there's an ocean. So it's just really cool. It's a really cool place to be from. The weather's pristine 9 months out of the year. So it's one of my favorite places in the world for sure.
I think I stayed, it was called the Mission Palms Hotel in Tempe.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah, that was amazing. What an incredible hotel that was.
Yeah, it was right by. So I went to Arizona State University for school. It's right up in that same area.
Yeah, because there's also on my bucket list is to go to the golf tournament you have in Arizona as well, where everyone goes crazy.
Yes, the Phoenix Waste Management Open.
Yeah.
It's quite the party, that's for sure.
it looks like not too much people, golf aficionados, and more party goers for sure.
Oh, definitely. I have not been personally, but we see the fanfare every year. So,
so obviously, you're now a Paralympic star, and you mentioned to me before we started this conversation that you're now living in Colorado, Colorado Springs. Why did you make that decision to move?
So after Rio, I made a transition in coaches, so that I had an elite group to train with day in and day out. And so the coach that I ended up interviewing and hiring lived in Colorado Springs, and his elite team trained out here. So that was really the big drawing force, was having, you know, people with the same dreams as me that are training day in and day out, and people to chase in the pool and on the run and the bike, and having a coach that was super knowledgeable in the elite world. And so that was the big draw. Another huge plus about being up in Colorado Springs, in the U.S., we have our Olympic Training Center here. So there's a lot of resources from sports dietitians and physiologists and sports psychologists and all of that, as long as with the high altitude. And so all of those things really played a key parts in making my decision to move.
So you move, but you were already a two-time world champion and a Paralympic champion. So what have you learned now with this elite coach and this elite group?
You know, I think that the biggest thing I learned is you have to keep changing to keep improving. You can't just do the same thing day in and day out. And having somebody who has really like immersed themselves in this world, and, you know, their whole job is working with elite athletes, has been a key, to my success. So, yeah, it's just been, it's a different environment, one that's served me well so far, and one I continue to look forward to training in.
Fantastic. Do you miss being in Arizona a lot?
I do. I miss Arizona, especially when it's snowing here in Colorado. I'm like, oh my gosh, it's 75 and sunny in Arizona right now. I wish I could be there, but I have the, you know, it's not too far away. It's only about a two-hour plane trip, so I have the opportunity to go back quite frequently and get some training in down there as well.
Yeah.
So it's the best of both worlds.
Oh, fantastic. Now, I'd like to maybe then start from the beginning a little bit about your early life growing up. Were you always interested in sport?
I was. I was always interested in sport. I was always very keen of running, and I was always pretty good at it, starting at a pretty young age. We have something called a turkey trot that we do near Thanksgiving time here, and you do it at schools or with your community, and I just, you know, remember it being like my favorite day of the year as a kid, just getting to go out and run as fast as I could for as long as I could. It was just so much fun.
I've never heard of that before, Alyssa. Turkey, you're not carrying turkeys doing this, no?
No, you don't. Oh, so okay. It's usually like on Thanksgiving morning or like a day or two before Thanksgiving. And it's called a turkey trot because the winners get a turkey for Thanksgiving dinner. I earned a turkey a few times as a kid for my family, and so it was pretty cool. It's the first thing I ever won, a turkey.
Oh, fantastic. I hope there wasn't too much family pressure from your parents there of, you better go win that turkey. We haven't ordered anything
not at
yet.
Not at all. I think they just kind of stood around. I mean, the parents just love to stand around and watch and laugh, you know, as kids, like, sprint as fast as they can and then like end up like dying and fading off. And so it's a really fun community event. It just brings a lot of people together. It's all for fun. There's usually like a, you know, food drive or charity drive or something that goes along with it. So just really there to support the community and bring everybody together.
Are you naturally a competitive person?
Very much so, yes.
Are you the one who can't lose at a game of cards or things like that?
Yes.
Well, at least you admit it, and that's what made you become the best in the world, I suppose.
Yes, I'm very competitive with, you know, sports, games, anything, but I'm even more competitive with myself. And I think that's really what has drove me to excellence is, you know, in every workout, in every race, I want to do better than I did the last time. So even though I really enjoy competing against other people, it's really that competition, that inner competition, that competition against myself, I think that's helped me succeed.
Oh, that's really interesting. So in like a training session, you're wanting to beat what you did yesterday, for example.
Yeah. I love training sets or like testing sets where I get to do the same set every 6 or 8 weeks. And like, then I can really focus on like beating where I was, you know, a month ago or 2 months ago. I love training sets like that, and they just really drive me to be better.
Oh, wow. So let's go back. So you go to study at Arizona State University?
Yes.
What were you studying?
So I studied biology and psychology. My degrees are in genetics, cell and developmental biology, and then also in psychology. And then I went on to earn a graduate degree in exercise wellness and exercise psychology.
Wow, sounds like things which would help in what you're doing now. What about the psychology side? Is there anything which you think you may have learned then which has helped you with the success that you've had as a paratriathlete?
I focused more, instead of on like competitive sport, I focused more on the things that, or the reasons why, or if there's any psychological traits that make people more apt to exercise or not exercise. And I learned a lot about like resilience and discipline and motivation and how those differences really can drive somebody to participate or not participate in exercise. So yeah, I think a lot of those lessons were applicable to what I do in some sense. So it was really cool to kind of gain a different understanding of it.
Oh, wow. I don't want you to give me a whole thesis, but could you just maybe tell us a bit more about that? Because obviously someone like me who wants to go to the gym after this interview and is already going, thinking about excuses I can make to myself, but no, I need to go. Like, what are some of the things you learned there?
I think the most important thing that I kind of relay to people is like, there's a very big difference between motivation and discipline. Motivation is something that comes or goes for all of us. I mean, even as a professional athlete, I don't wake up every morning and I'm like, yes, let's do this. Let's go run 10 miles. But there's a lot of mornings that motivation is there. And so discipline's the part that, you know, that steps in when the motivation's not there. And if you can't find, you know, if it's the motivation's gone for long periods of time, there's a reason for that. Maybe you need to try a different form of exercise. Maybe there's a different sport out there that you'll enjoy more. So it's really, you know, about finding what you love and what you enjoy and what's going to motivate you. And then once you've found that, you're not going to be motivated every single day. And so that's when the discipline comes in and you have to just drag yourself to the gym and get it done. And once you get started, you start, you know, you're like, oh, I'm glad I did this. But, yeah, so I think just, you know, it's a combination of the two that kind of get people to get active and stay active.
Yeah, I'm much more motivated when I'm playing football with other people or I'm in a gym group session than I am when I have to go off and do weights by myself or go for a run by myself. I know that I'm pushing myself a lot harder when I'm around people. So it's interesting to think like that. So it was during your time at university, correct me if I'm wrong here, where your life did change with your health problems and ultimately you needed your leg amputated. Could you just tell us a little bit about what happened to you there, please, Alyssa?
Yeah, so I was in end of my first year at university. I started having a lot of neurological symptoms, numbness in my extremities, trouble walking, a lot of muscle weakness. And I was diagnosed with a congenital brain and spine condition where my cerebellum's herniated into my spinal column. And because the diagnosis was delayed so long, it resulted in a traumatic brain injury and an incomplete spinal cord injury. And that caused a lot of neurological deficits, which then led to the amputation of my left leg below the knee.
Oh, my goodness. Who were some of the people strongest around you at the time? Because that must have been a really difficult time.
Yeah, I think, you know, I had great support from my grandma. She was always there for me, and, you know, always just was there to tell me that she believed in me, and like that the diagnosis didn't change anything. It didn't change my dreams. It didn't change my goals. And most importantly, it didn't change who I was. And I think that was one of the most important things I could have been told at that time in my life. Just because I had this new complex medical diagnosis, it didn't change who I was. It didn't change the athlete that I was, and it didn't have to change what I wanted to accomplish in life.
Absolutely inspiring. And you were competing again so quickly afterwards, weren't you?
I was. I was very, very motivated to get back up and get moving again. Prior to my surgeries, it had taken me off my feet for quite a while. And so when I finally had surgery and I started learning to walk again and swim again, I mean, all I really wanted to do was get out there and do triathlon again. I told myself I didn't care if I was never going to, you know, become the elite athlete I had dreamed of. All I wanted to do was be able to go out and enjoy the sport again with my friends and with my teammates. And so that was really my goal, just to get up and get back out there.
And when did that goal change? Because what's so amazing with you, Alyssa, is that what you achieved, you did in such quick time. Is the fact that I've got here that you had your leg amputated in 2013. 2 years later, you're a world champion. It's absolutely amazing. When did you then realise that I can beat everyone here? I can be the best in the world. Was there a moment? Was there a time?
Every day, you know, like I said, I really was competitive against myself and wanted to just beat myself every day. And so after I finished a triathlon, I was like, hey, that was good. I wanted to do another one, and do better. I wanted to qualify for nationals. And when I qualified for nationals, I wanted to qualify for an international meet. When I did that, then I wanted to qualify for world championships. And after qualifying for world championships, I was like, you know what? Like, I can win this. I can do this. And so that's what my goal became, was winning world championships. And then, you know, that whole time I had my eye on going to Rio. That was a goal before my diagnosis, was to become an Olympic athlete. And so that kind of always stayed in my mind. And then when I won my first world championship, the goal to make it to Rio changed. I didn't want to just be there anymore. Like, I wanted to be on top of that podium. And that was something that drove me every day, like, to be my best and to become better and to be, you know, really become the best in the world. And it just, it motivated me. It drove me. It kept me going on the days when it was hard. I started, you know, when I was in a workout struggling, I started saying to myself, like, this is what gold's made of. Like, these are the moments that are so hard you want to quit. Like, this is what's going to get you there. And just that, like, that little phrase kept me going, and kept me working to accomplishing my goals.
The phrase being, these are the moments, right?
Yeah, these are the moments, or this is what gold is made of.
This is what gold is made of. That's amazing. So going into Rio as a two-time... was the 2016 World Championship before the Rio Olympics? Were you a two-time...
So
you were going into Rio as a two-time world champion. Did you feel pressure with that success that you've already achieved going into those games, that everyone was expecting you to win?
You know, I think I won my first world championship in 2015. I had won, a few races before that, starting in August of 2015, and remained undefeated all the way up going into Rio. And you know, there was a lot of talk about it, and I think people had thrown around that I was a favorite, but funny enough, on the day of Rio, I was the most at peace at a race that I had ever been. I knew I had done everything I possibly could to prepare the best that I could. And I couldn't change that. Like, I was where I wanted to be. I was as fit as I hoped to be. I was strong. I'd done all the work. I'd done everything I needed to do. And so that morning, the only thing left I could do was go out there and race. You know, there's so many things you can't control. I can't control what my competitors do that day. I can't control what happens in the environment or anything like that. And so I just focused on what I could control. And I just focused on all the work that I had put in. And I was at peace with it. No matter what happened that day, I was going to be at peace with what I did to prepare and what I did to get there and what I accomplished. So, I mean, it's kind of strange to say, but I really had no nerves. I was so excited. I just was ready to race.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
The Best in the World podcast with Richard Parr.
This week's Best in the World with Richard Parr is brought to you by Audible. Audible's one of the leading suppliers of audiobooks in the whole world. Over 180,000 titles for you to choose from. If you would like to test out their service, you can do it for free thanks to the Best in the World with Richard Parr. All you got to do is go to audibletrial.com/best. That's audibletrial.com/best. And you can check out their service for 30 days. And that includes one free audiobook download. How cool is that? You can listen and learn for free, just like you do here on The Best in the World with Richard Parr. Lucky, lucky people. So that website, again, is audibletrial.com/best. You can listen to an audiobook for free for your iPhone, Android, or MP3 player. Go and check it out. All right, let's return to the conversation with Alyssa Seeley.
The Best in the World podcast with Richard Parr.
I've spoken a few times on this podcast before about people being in the zone. Was that the case there, or have you been in the zone before?
Oh, 100%. I think as soon as I step onto the race course, I find that zone, I find that spot, and I'm able to tune the rest of the world out. When I'm racing and when I'm working out, it's me and what I'm doing. I'm able to stop focusing on everything around me. I mean, so much so that, like, I don't even hear the crowd. I can see them, but I don't hear any, I don't hear the yelling. I don't hear the screaming. I just focus on what I need to. I know where my coach is on the course. And I tune in for a moment to get what I need from them, and then I go right back to my space and my zone, and I just stay there and focus on each step, each stroke, each pedal stroke, each little part as the race goes on.
Does that immediately change when you cross the line?
It does, and in Rio, it changed. I can tell you exactly where it changed. It was about 200 250 meters from the finish, right about as like the blue carpet started, when I knew that I had seen my coach and they were just like, go get it. And then I saw my brother and he was so excited and running and screaming and tripping over things and just like, you know, telling me it was mine. And that, so at that moment, you know, a few hundred meters before the finish, it changed and I was able to take all the surroundings in, all the noise, all the cheering, all the people. And so I really feel like I had, you know, I got the experience of what it was like on that race course, even just in those last few hundred meters. I know what it would have, I know what it felt like. So.
Oh, that's amazing. So memories you'll have forever, right?
For sure.
Because there's some people I've spoken to who it's all just a blur to them and they don't really remember. So I'm delighted that you can remember all of that really special moment. You mentioned how great you felt before the race. What is your typical pre-race routine like?
I do the same thing before every race. Some of it is pretty standard throughout triathlon. We travel. I always bring the food that I want to eat on the plane with me. So I bring typically three meals on the plane with me, breakfast, lunch, and dinner.
Which are what, Alyssa? What have we got there? What are we eating?
So I bring some yogurt that has strawberries, blueberries, granola, and a little bit of honey on it. And then I bring some sliced carrots and sliced cucumbers and a sandwich with some peanut butter and some jam, and then I bring a salad with some sliced chicken and just a bunch of different vegetables depending on what season it is, I guess. So that's, you know, I bring my food, I bring my snacks, I also have trail mix, two different types of trail mix I bring on the plane, and so that I know I have what I need to be fueled and ready to go in that sense. And then on the plane I pretty much just like veg out. I watch movies. I hang out. I don't really do much. Occasionally I'll write some blogs or read some emails. But once I start traveling, I really start focusing on that race and kind of stop worrying about everything else that's going on. And then when we get to our destination, right when we get there, I always like to put my bike together first thing so that I know if there's any problems that I have ample amount of time to get it fixed. So I always travel with extra parts, anything that I'm able to travel with. So if my derailleur was to break or a wheel was to break or something like that in travel, I could fix it and not be worried about it. So I put my bike together, make sure it's all functioning and good. And then depending on what time we get there, I'll either go for a quick spin on the bike or go for a run just to shake my legs out, get, you know, that plane feeling out, and then start the next day with my pre-race training. And then we go into our meetings and our course previews where we get to see the swim course and the bike course and the run course. We have our mandatory meeting and then it's race day. So on the morning of the race, I usually wake up 2 hours before we have to check in. I have breakfast. I have oatmeal with apples and cinnamon in it. And some juice, and then I recheck everything, make sure, you know, recheck all my equipment and stuff that I packed the night before, recheck my bike, make sure everything's functioning again, tires are aired up and ready to go, and then I head down for warm-ups and to get ready.
And then you go and win Paralympic gold or World Championship gold, as easy as that. So what are the movies you watch then, Alyssa?
I love like animated movies. Disney movies are some of my favorite. I also like some of the sports movies like Cool Runnings. A lot of like nostalgic movies, I guess, from when I was a kid, Little Rascals. And then, you know, the one or two new movies that are out, that are playing on the plane.
Oh, superb. And what about music? Are you someone who listens to music and does it help you in any way in your sport?
You know, I love to listen to music, but I don't listen to it when I'm working out. One of my very first coaches taught me to train how you race, and really got me to learn to be in the moment by focusing on my breath and the sound of my feet and the wind in my hair. And so now when I train, I don't listen to music. If music's on, I actually end up tuning it out so I can pay attention to my body and what I'm feeling, and, you know, hear the feeling of my heartbeat, the feeling of my muscles, and pay attention to that kind of stuff. I save music more for afterwards and in the car and on the plane or stuff like that.
That sounds almost like meditative, the way you're talking about feeling how your body feels and how it's reacting. Is that something which is part of your life?
It is. It's definitely something that, again, I had no experience with until my coach had brought it up in college and really introduced it through sport. And then years after, I'd been essentially doing it in sport and focusing on, you know, my body and my breathing and my everything and the environment that I was in, I did start adding meditation into my daily life and really into my recovery pattern after workouts.
Oh, fantastic. So you're now in Colorado Springs. You've got a new elite coach. You're with other elite athletes, but you're a two-time world champion. You're a Paralympic champion. What are the goals you've set for yourself now?
You know, in the short term, my goal is to get back on the horse and be back on top of that world championship podium at the end of this year. So, and there's nothing better, you know, the only thing better than one Paralympic gold is two. So that's what I have my eyes set on for Tokyo, is I want to be able to defend that medal and hear my anthem play again. So that's what I'm focused on.
Well, fantastic. Well, I wish you all the success with that. It sounds like you're a very focus-driven lady and you've achieved amazing success already. Before we go, Alyssa, could you just let us know where we could continue to follow your journey online, if there's a website or any social media, and also if there's anything else you'd like to mention, please?
Yeah, you can find me online at my website. It's alyssaseely.com, or on Facebook and Instagram, both under Alyssa Seely. And so, yeah, that's kind of the best way to follow along my journey and cheer me on. I love seeing all the support from followers and, you know, hearing what people have accomplished after hearing my story. So, yeah, check me out. Send me a message. Let me know that you made it out to the gym today or you accomplished something that you never thought you could. And you stepped out of your boundaries. I love to hear stories like that. And yeah.
Well, fantastic. You've been inspiring and it's been amazing to hear your story. Alyssa Seely, thank you for being on the program and thank you for being the best in the world.
Thank you so much for having me. It was great chatting today.
The Best in the World podcast with Richard Parr.
Wonderful stuff there from Alyssa. If you're interested in triathlon sports, you might want to go back and listen to my conversation with Emma Snowsill. She's a former Olympic triathlon champion. Recently, I also spoke to the Ironman world record holder, Tim Don. He's got an incredible story. Speaking of incredible stories, I've also spoken to a few other Paralympic superstars, Alfonso Cunningham. He is a champion in both javelin and discus. That was the third ever episode, I think. And I've also spoken to Amy Mullins, a former world record holder in sprinting. So you can check out all of those episodes on iTunes, Acast, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio app. And you can click the subscribe button, and you can also please give us a rating and review if you've got a few moments. It helps the algorithm and it helps other people know about The Best in the World with Richard Parr. So I would love to get your perspective on the show. Maybe there's some questions you don't like me asking. Maybe I ask the same questions too often. Maybe there's some questions you feel I really should ask some of my guests. I'd love to get your feedback, because effectively this is our show. We want to find out how we can improve our everyday life from the best people, the best sports stars on the planet. That's it for this week. It's been fantastic to speak to Alyssa Seely. I hope you have a wonderful rest of your week.
The Best in the World podcast with Richard Parr.
mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market. Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.